Good morning. It's good to see everyone out here this morning. I'd like to apologize to those whose phones or alarms didn't get adjusted to the time change because you missed Kyle's lesson and you're stuck listening to me now. Also, it looks like according to the clock, I've got a little over an hour and a half. So I'll try not to go over, but we'll see what happens. Been gone for the past two Sundays, so hopefully I'm not going to re-preach anything either. But I hope that what I have to say today will be challenging and beneficial to everyone. Stephen John Lawless is a name that probably few, if anyone in this room, probably recognize. He's an American of Greek descent who served in the Army and then became a communications officer in the State Department at the U.S. Embassy in Athens, Greece. He probably would be someone whose name was never known to anyone other than his friends or coworkers, and I wouldn't be talking about him this morning, except for the fact that he committed espionage against the United States. The FBI was given the tip that classified documents were being leaked to Greece when the State Department official heard a Greek official speak of confidential information that could have only been given to him from someone within the U.S. Embassy in Athens. After investigating further, on May 3, 1993, the FBI arrested Lawless for passing over 700 highly classified documents to Greece. He was then sentenced to 14 years in prison, and after serving his sentence, he emigrated to Greece, where he became a citizen there. He later said that if he had the opportunity to do it all over again, knowing that he would face prison and separation from his family, he would do it again. Stephen is a man who was an American citizen and was responsible for protecting the information and the documents in which he was entrusted. Instead, he showed more loyalty to the country of his ancestors than to the country whose information he had promised to protect. As Christians, we are citizens of God's kingdom, and we have made a commitment to be loyal to Him. I'd like to spend the rest of the time this morning discussing loyalty to God. I'd like to begin by talking about some ways that we can be disloyal to God. Specifically, what I would like to talk about is similar to the example I began the lesson with, and that is divided loyalty. Stephen Lawless's motives to betray the United States were not necessarily because he disliked or hated the country. It was merely that he was also loyal to the country of his ancestors, and I suppose he wanted them to have access to things that he felt they should know. While there's nothing wrong with him having a fondness for the country he descended from, he had made a commitment to the United States and betrayed that commitment by giving Greece information he was not supposed to. Please turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And starting in verse 3, it says, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then in verse 14, Jesus is explaining the parable and says, "The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'd like to focus on the thorny soil that the seed was sown into. Jesus explains that the thorny soil represents people who are receptive to the word, but over time, they allow the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things to choke out the word, and they become unfruitful. How easy is this for us to do today? There are so many things in this world that can distract us, and it doesn't even have to be things that are actually sinful. Sometimes we let our schedules get so filled with so many other things, whether it be family activities or work activities or other things like that, that the time we should be spending devoting to God gets put on the back burner. We put lesser worldly things as a priority to over our service to God. Notice that it says that these worldly things choked out the word and it became unfruitful. We can still attend church services and appear faithful to others, but if we have let the things of the world take priority in our lives and are being unfruitful Christians, then we have a divided loyalty. Next, I'd like to look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57, says, "As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father.' But he said to him, 'Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God.' Another also said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" God wants us to be committed to him. He doesn't want us to serve him just when it's convenient. He wants us to serve him at all times. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that no man can serve two masters. God doesn't want our loyalty to him to be divided. We either serve him or we serve the world. One example of putting worldly things before God is with our possessions. Remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. He asked Jesus what good thing he can do to obtain eternal life. Jesus tells him to keep the commandments, and after Jesus further clarifies which specific commandments, the man says that he's kept them all. What else is he lacking? Verses 21 and 22 says, "Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." This young man seems to be someone who really did want to do what was right, but when his dedication and loyalty were put to the test, he chose money and possessions over loyalty to the Lord. How would you react if you were told to do this? Would that be a sacrifice that you would not be willing to make? We have all been incredibly blessed by God, but we need to remember that he is the one who gave it to us and that all things really belong to him. We need to view this world as temporary and long for our eternal blessings. Think about the Christians in Acts chapter 4 that we've been talking about in the Sunday morning class. Because of the needs at that time, the Christians were selling their land and giving the money to the apostles to distribute to those who were in need. How generous are we with the possessions that we have been given? Another area to think about is in choosing jobs and careers. This is an area that all the middle school, high school, and college aged here really need to think about as you're getting closer to deciding what you want to do for a living. When we choose jobs, are we thinking about how it can help ourselves and our family spiritually, Or are we only thinking about the money and maybe the status that we can achieve from it? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 8, it says, "If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Do we have the mindset that Paul mentioned in verse 8? Can we be satisfied with the basic necessities of life? It can be very easy to always want more and more things, can it? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is telling his audience not to worry about physical things because God will provide for our necessities. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Having a well-paying job is great, but if it keeps us from being able to serve God as we should, whether that be having the ability to consistently worship with our fellow Christians or spending time with our families or other things, then maybe we need to consider something different, no matter how difficult that may be. God has told us that he will provide for what we need. Do we trust in him? God wants us to work, but not at the sacrifice of serving him and spending time with our families and fellow Christians. A final area that I would like to discuss in regards to putting worldly things before God is with politics. When Julie and I were in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, we heard Brother Mark Roberts speak a little bit on this subject in a lesson, and I'd like to mention a couple of things that he said, along with some of my thoughts as well. As Americans, politics can be very important to us, and that's understandable since the decisions that are made in Washington are things that can potentially affect our lives. I think it's perfectly reasonable for us to vote for those who we believe would have the best influence on this country as possible. However, I believe that we need to be careful in how we let our political views affect our influence as Christians. Although it might have been this way to a certain extent all the time, I believe that it seems that social media and 24-hour news channels and websites have caused this country to become extremely divided due to political stances. One group of people detests another just because of their political views and vice versa. There seems to be so much hate on social media that when it comes to politics, and I think it can be easy for Christians to get caught up in that as well. We shouldn't let political issues consume our lives. Are we being a light to those who are lost and trying to teach them the gospel, or are we busy tearing them down because they don't agree with us politically? The kingdom of God is bigger than any political issue. It has been around long before this country came into existence, and it will be around long after it's gone. God is not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's not a libertarian. Our country needs more salt and light than political legislation. We should be more concerned with changing people's hearts than changing laws. Where does our focus lie? In Philippians 3, verse 20, Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. It's the way that we live our lives and the way we act on social media reflect that. Instead of tearing people down for their political beliefs and contributing to the political divide, what can we do to encourage more people to follow Christ and look to the Bible for guidance? Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Are the things that we say and the posts that we write and share gentle or harsh? Are we praying for those who are advocating for sinful things, or are we blasting them because we are right and they are wrong? There's nothing wrong with having political views and sharing them, but let's be careful in how we act in that regard. So what are some ways that we show, for us to show loyalty to God? Here's three ways I'd like to mention, though this is by no means an exhaustive list. I believe that the first way is rather simple and may seem obvious. We need to obey God. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." In the next chapter, in verse 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." While this seems rather obvious, it is not always easy for people to do. We see this all the time in the world. We see people creating all sorts of ministries. We see churches sponsoring various organizations, sports leagues, things like that. We see churches putting on performances and doing other various programs to bring people in from the community. Well, I'm sure that most do it with good intentions. Is that how we see the Lord wanting us to use the funds in the Bible? Is that how he wants us to worship him? I had a birthday a few weeks ago. So what if Julie had arranged a manicure and pedicure day in honor of my birthday? Well, I'm sure that she would thoroughly enjoy it. It's not exactly how I would want to spend my birthday. And if you want to honor somebody for their birthday or for some other reason, you do something that you know that they like, right? It's the same way with worshiping and honoring God. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Here we see that we are commanded to... skipped ahead. We see here that it is those who do the will of the Father who will enter heaven. We can say that we are doing things in his name, but if he has not commanded us to do them, are we following him as we should? He has told us how to worship him. He has told us how to honor him. Let's make sure that in everything we do, we are looking to his word to make sure that we are serving him as we should. So how are you doing with reading and studying God's word? Doing that is the only way that that we can know that we are obeying him as we should. It's very easy to let other things get in the way of that. Let's make sure that we are always setting aside time to read his word so that we can obey him as he has commanded us. Another way to show loyalty to God is by teaching others the gospel. In Matthew 28, the passage we're all familiar with, Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Here we see that we are commanded to teach the gospel to the world. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, we are told to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" Do you speak with those that you come in contact with about the gospel? When given the opportunity with a coworker or a friend, do you try to influence them to follow the truth, or are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? If we want to be truly loyal to God, then we need to be busy spreading his word to those around us. If we truly believe that the Bible holds the key to eternal life, then we should want to share it with everyone that we can. Are we ashamed? Are we scared of what others might think or say when we bring it up? Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We cannot be loyal to God in his cause, yet hide our lives as Christians from others. Let's always be trying to find ways to spread the gospel to others. A final point I'd like to make in how we can show loyalty to God is by serving others. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we see that the apostles are upset with James and John because they asked to sit at Jesus' right and left side in his glory. This is one of several times we see the apostles arguing about who the greatest is. And we see Jesus' response in verses 42 through 45. It says, "Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, 'You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" Greatness in God's eyes is accomplished by serving others. Jesus gave us the ultimate example by coming to this earth for us. He left the glory of heaven and humbled himself to the point of dying on the cross so that we could receive the forgiveness of sins. One way that I think that we can serve others is through the giving of our possessions. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 28, Ephesians 4:28, it says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." I find it interesting that instead of stealing, one of the reasons God wants us to work is so that we can help others who are in need. In the year and a half or so that I've been here with this congregation, it's been encouraging to see the willingness of this congregation to help others. The numerous times that money has been raised to buy food for the Christians in Southern Africa has been very encouraging for me to see. I hope that we will always be generous with our possessions whenever various needs arise like that. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. This will be the final passage this morning. Matthew 25, and starting in verse 34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Serving and helping others is important to God. Jesus says that doing things for others is the same as if we do it for God. What are we doing to help and serve others in need? Let's always have an attitude of service and a desire to help those who are in need in whatever way we can. Loyalty is key to any relationship that we have in our lives. And without loyalty, there's consequences, whether it be with our jobs, our friendships, marriages, or our service to God. Going back to the example at the beginning of the lesson with Stephen Lawless, the consequences for his disloyalty was having to spend 14 years in prison and being separated from his family. While that may seem pretty severe, that is nothing compared to the cost of being disloyal to God. Our sin separates us from God. Romans 6, verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. The passage we read a few moments ago in Matthew 7 mentions that those who do not do the will of the Father will not enter heaven. In the passage we just read in Matthew 25, those who do not serve others as they should are cast into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Disloyalty to God has eternal consequences. Sinfulness separates us from God, and we are cast into a place that isn't even meant for us. God wants to be with us. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for us. But if we do not obey and serve God as we should, then that is where we will go. Perhaps there are those here this morning who have allowed their loyalty to God to shift somewhere else. It can be so easy to lose focus and prioritize other things over serving God as we should. Now is the time to refocus and give God your full loyalty and devotion again. If you have never become a Christian, then you have not pledged your loyalty to God. According to 2 Peter 3, verse 9, God does not want anyone to perish, but you must be the one who decides to follow him. We encourage you to do so today by repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized to wash away your sins. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, then please come forward as we stand and sing.